The views and opinions expressed by the guests on this podcast are that of their own. In no way, shape, or form do they reflect the official policy or position of the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack.
You've descended into the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack, a commercial diving podcast by working divers for divers.
This episode is brought to you by Ocean Eye Inc. Ocean Eye's main focus is you, the commercial diver. With industry-leading end-to-end service and expertise, they got everything you need for your next dive job. You need your gear maintenance or repaired? Need some new products or consulting? Ocean Eye's got you covered. Give them a call at 610-621-5750 or visit them online at OceanEyeInc.com.
So this is the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack, and what?
We're talking about Armando's non-existent mustache.
Yes, so I did shave the mustache for Movember. So
smile if you love men's prostates.
You're supposed to start clean, and I started clean. Previous years, I've donated money and just kind of been standing on the sidelines.
Yeah, shaving your face is much more effective.
Obviously. I did it right now. I did it right. It looks like my nutsack.
Yeah, your face looks like
it a sure
face.
Does.
Which is very smooth. Scrotum.
It sure does.
Very smooth and wrinkly.
So now you don't look like a pedophile.
Not at all.
A ball sack pedophile.
Ball sack. Oh, wait. Pedophile's still there.
Yeah, you're still a pedophile.
Oh, Jiminy Crickets. Okay, so yeah. Like I said, this is a Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack.
You're listening to 101.3 Delta P.
So this episode is a special episode because not only are we pushing the Movember, but we're also we just recently had the episode with a new diver, Dusty, which was pretty awesome.
Dusty Dingleman.
Dusty Diver.
Dusty Diver.
Apprentice.
No. Okay.
Today in the Dive Shack, good guy. We are joined with our fellow co-worker Kenny. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, how's it going?
Kendra.
No, it's not Kendra. What's Kenny short for?
Kenneth.
Yeah. That's Kenneth. My mom's nickname for you.
What?
Kendra.
Kendra, that's fine. Your mom can call me that.
I don't know. It's weird, though.
Yeah, so, Kenneth, hailing from the sweet state of Texas.
That's right.
Woo!
Born and raised.
Came to California to try to get that California dive gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
how's that working out?
Well, so good.
Now working for Long Beach.
Yeah, I graduated the sweet year of 2009 when there was no diving. So that was
that's tough.
That was real beneficial.
It's so funny that you're talking about that because I just met another dad at my daughter's preschool. He also either graduated in 2008 or 2009.
And what did he say?
There was no diving.
Yeah, there was no diving.
I think he went on one job and they were like, okay, well, that's it. We'll call you when there's another one. And he called them up and they're like, oh, this number is no longer in service. Like,
yeah.
They just died.
Like before I came out to California, it was like I called, I lived in Texas, Fort Worth. And back then it was U.S. Underwater Services.
U.S. Underwater Services. Shout out.
Yeah, Mansfield. I was like, I want to work for those
still
guys.
Still rolling.
And
you're Dallas.
I called them like in 07 wanting to go dive school. Like, yeah, hurry up. And I called them and it took me a while to get out here. I called them in 09 and they were like, no.
I just laughed.
Yeah, he was like, no.
So
soon. And then I was like, so. And then I got lucky with some overseas stuff. But
And we'll get all into that.
Yeah.
So note to those that are looking for work, if they laugh over the phone, it's probably not a good sign.
It's not a good sign.
Not a good sign, no. But yeah, man. So it's like, that's one of the things. It's like coming out of dive school, you're freaking amped up, ready to get in the water.
Ready to get your dick wet.
Your hat wet, if you have a hat. And it's like sometimes it just doesn't pan out, you know, because it's the dive business is a lot of timing and luck.
Yeah.
Timing and luck, being at the right place at the right time. The amount of jobs that were good jobs at the time that I've gotten, they were literally just right place, right time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if you don't hit it, then it's tough. What do you do in the meantime? You know?
Yeah.
All that and more on this episode of the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack. Intro music. Yeah. Or typewriting.
No, I'm just kidding. The intro music already happened.
Or bubbles. More bubbles.
Intro music already happened.
Oh, okay.
Bubbles. But yeah, no, it's a freaking, it's a tough thing because you just finished spending all that money in dive school and you're expecting to get in the water. It doesn't happen. So you have to start making a living topside. And a lot of times it's like you're either working in a weld shop because you got weld certs, or you're pounding nails somewhere working as a carpenter. Or another option that you've got is, Kenny?
Inspection, right? That's kind of what I literally fell into. And yeah, because like if your instructors talk about, I'm not sure if your instructors told you this in dive school, but they were like, you need to have another job that you do, that you can do when you're back. Because if you don't work when you're back, you're going to lose all your money.
That's are the good instructors that tell you that.
Yeah.
Because I've heard horror stories.
Don't spend your money. You got to figure out something else that you can do while you're driving. You know, a lot of guys here do pile driving when they're drying. So mine happened to just kind of fall back into started doing inspection. I found this company. Let me back up a little bit here. So I was
backing up
a poor diver before. And then reasons. I left. Now, while I left, I started diving, right? Diving.
Whoa. What were the reasons?
there's various factors and what such. And well, cut to. I no longer have a job.
No, cut to.
No, I mean,
you wouldn't have done it the same way.
One day you're diving, cut to, next day you're not. Okay. So I did some jobs overseas and then I found out that I was going to be a dad. And so
that changes you, man.
It did. And after cutting two, I got to work like in Africa and go do some cool stuff. And then I was going to go back and do that. And that fell through. And that was a big hit. Like my kid was about to be born and it didn't work out. And I was like, well, I got to find something else because that is not going to work out. So I knew somebody who his brother owned a company, an inspection company, and met them and just kind of started with them. So when I say inspection, I mean like construction inspection. So like whether it's NDT on a job site or visual inspection, we did a lot of work for theme parks, kind of a bigger theme park in the Southern California region. It's pretty happy place.
Legoland?
Say it, dude. It's not like,
you see, okay. So we did a lot of work for
Castle Park.
We did Castle Park. No, yeah.
That's my hood.
We did go to Castle Park. Castle Park, Disney, Universal Studios.
Trash.
So we did a ton of work for those guys and then kind of filled in the blanks with like going on job sites doing inspection. So, which is kind of easy for divers because sometimes you can have some NDT certs, right?
Right. That's part of the track too, is that a lot of the schools, they'll push you, or they used to push you with three tracks. You go welding, DMT, dive medic, or NDT, inspector diver.
Which is perfect because I did diver medic and welding and did not do any NDT. So I had no background. So I had to start from scratch, which was kind of painful because it takes a long time. It takes a lot of hours, right? It takes, you know, you have your different disciplines, right? You have magnetic particle, your dive penetrant, your UT where you're scanning or you're taking thickness readings. And each of those, like for me, was like 40 hours of class, right? So different types of UT. And then once you get those classes done, then you have to do hours on top of that, like in the field. So it's kind of a long time investment with getting your hours to where you can be a tech out there alone, but it worked out. I mean, it took a couple years of you know, doing this pretty steadily to get all those certs, but it's beneficial. I mean, I supported both my wife and our new kid back in the day. And, you know, it just, the great thing about it is that it keeps, like the more you get, the more you make and the more you work. So it's kind of nice, right? So, like,
was it depressing? Was it depressing though? Like not diving? Like that's what you went to school for.
Right. So, there, I mean, there was that, right? Like, I wanted to be a diver, right? So, and let's kind of rewind or fast forward a little bit. I'm actively been doing inspection for a few years, and I got a call, I got a call from my good buddy, Josh, and he was like, hey, we need some people on this job up here. It was an inland, you know, union job. And I was like, you know, man, I haven't been wet in a few years, but sure. You know, and so I went up.
What's the worst thing to happen?
Yeah.
Is this the up north?
Yeah. That was up north where I kind of had to fill in for some guy or for a guy. So that kind of spurred it pretty hard again. Definitely rusty getting back in the water, but.
Cause at the time it's like you kind of ridden it off.
Yeah, I kind of did. I mean, I kind of felt like I'd retired from it just cause I had one kid and then like almost not even 2 years later, I had another. So I had two
and you're making steady money at this time. It's not like it's, you know, hit or right. miss. It's just like you're steadily working,
right.
doing the inspection in the dry.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the call back to diving kind of was a pretty strong one. But then, you know, fast forward another year and I got on with another company. That's kind of the good thing about inspection, okay? Similar to diving, I mean, you might work for, you might, I don't want to say the word freelance, but you can work for multiple companies and you, depending upon what search you get, you can go all over the place. I mean, I got sent to Texas for 2 months. I went to San Jose for like 7 months, you know, all over Southern California. So, I mean, you kind of get that, like, if you like traveling and you like doing that kind of thing where you're kind of out and about and seeing different places, I mean, you can easily do that with inspection. You can also stay locally too. Like if you live in a big area like Los Angeles, I mean, there's tons of stuff going around.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of refineries around here too. Like if you want to be a refinery NDT tech,
right,
you can make a career out of that and just stay in the one refinery for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you really
smelling
can.
Smelling the same smells.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, until it blows up.
I spent a month in a refinery working as a carpenter, and oh my God. I mean, I'm not knocking anyone that's listening that works. Yeah, actually, I am knocking you guys.
You're going to get
cancer. Very, very freaking depressing.
It's rough.
It was depressing. The smell is just unbearable.
Yeah, I never did any of that. My company, like your company kind of does different stuff, right? Like they may specialize in different aspects. Like you may have an aerospace company that does aerospace parts. You may have a construction inspection company. So, I mean, you can kind of fill it out and get your niche with all the different search you get. But if you're going to do that, like, how do I explain it? Okay, so like I started with NDT, right? Like your UTs, your mags, your whatever. And I was pretty busy. A lot of call-out work, right? Like you can have some freedom. You don't have to take the job. So if you get a call back on diving, you can be like, hey, I'm not available.
Oh, that's nice.
And you can just go, right? That's another nice thing about it.
So you can be a diver.
Yeah.
And then when it's dry, you can do the NDT.
Yeah, because I was...
If you're cool with the company, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. You got to pick your company. Like I work for a smaller company and they were really flexible with me. So, I mean, when I did that job up north, I told them like, hey, like
Northern California.
Yeah. Northern California. Like I got to go for a couple months and they're like, yeah, okay. Do your thing. They're real supportive. So that was nice.
And they took you back after.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're a worthwhile person,
yeah.
You do your job, they'll take you back. So, but, yeah.
Fantastic.
And like I said, so.
And done.
Episode over. No, it's a lot more to that, man. It's just one of those things where it's like you get your heart set on doing one thing you went to school for, just like any other trade or any other business. Somebody that goes to college for a certain, you know, discipline,
yeah,
they may not end up doing that for a little bit, but eventually you can find your way back if you want.
Right.
But you could also make a really good living doing, you know, something else, which again, it's related to diving. NDT, we do it all the time in the water. Like what type of certs did you have that kind of transferred to both trades?
Right. So the thing with NDT is that it's all company based, right? So your mags, your UTs, your penetrant, your whatever. Some guys do X-ray, some guys do eddy current. That's all every company you work for, you got to test with. Okay, because it's not a nationally based cert, because every company does a different style of NET, right? So I know from a lot of guys that are divers, they get like at least their level one through their company, which is great, right? You knock out your 40 hours. And like we do a ton of UT now, right? So we're on that big thing where we're doing a ton of UT, and all that experience helps when you get back into diving. If you're doing pile, you know, pile inspection or ship inspection, it all translates. So it all kind of works together. Like I went further and got my, my CWI. So like my certified welding inspector, and like, that's my cert, right? So I like own that one. I can go wherever I want and be a visual welding inspector. And that's when you get that one, that's the kind of the golden ticket combined with your NDT certs. Cause you can start doing like, union inspection to where, cause they want guys to be multi-certed, right? So they want you, because they want to stick one inspector on site and have him able to go out and do all the inspection that a structure, you know, building is going to need. So you start working real, real regular when you get like that kind of magic combo, you know? And that was, I saw a huge difference when I got my CWI, although, I mean, it was hard to get and expensive, but that worked out real well. So, yeah.
You also got an awesome cert, which allowed you to be more flexible in your career, which is the rope access. Can you talk a little bit about the rope access cert?
Yeah, rope access is fun. It's like diving in the air.
Yeah, he loves the rope access cert. He talks about it all the time.
It's really fun.
I mean, I can't do it now. I'm like 30 pounds overweight.
Yeah, it's super tough. Yeah,
40.
That's 40 a fun one. I did 40, some of my most...
biscuit.
You can still do it. I can still do it right now.
Yeah, they have to.
I can still do it too, but I'm not as fast. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
No, rope access is fun. You don't get paid very much, but it's like diving in the air. I mean, it's the same stuff, the same mentality. Don't drop your tools. Everything you have, your life depends on it.
Yeah, make one mistake, you die.
Make one mistake, you die, which I almost did one time. Yeah.
Tell us that time. You were almost dead on rope.
I was up on a roller coaster and...
Where? Can Disney? You say?
Yeah,
oh, Disney.
Yeah,
Disney. Mickey's not going to come after you.
I mean, they got a lot of lawyers, man.
They have a lot of lawyers. They do.
But no, I was on the roller coaster, and I had to.
Yeah, they're listening right now.
Yeah, they're listening right now as we're recording this. No, I had to come down off of the roller coaster to the ground, and you have a descender on your harness that allows you to kind of, like, you know, slow yourself down.
Wait, sorry. Time.
Yeah.
California Adventures roller coaster?
Mm-hmm.
Just so people know.
Yeah, California Adventure.
Okay. Because there's several parks.
Yeah.
California right, but only Adventure. Two here, and there's...
Then Credit Coaster or whatever it's called now.
Now, yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
Every week.
Cool. Yeah.
Basically, I put my rope in the wrong way, and it doesn't work when you do that.
It shouldn't work.
Yeah, and I was still level one then, and the level three was right there with me, and I was starting to go down, and he, like, grabbed me and, like, did not let go and, like, almost pulled my ass back up to him. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I would have gone straight to the ground. It was pretty fun. That was really high up, too.
Yeah, the rope would have caught you at some point, wrapped around your leg or something, or neck.
You can say it would, but...
You can't die at Disney, and your family can be okay. They're like... They would find a way... No. Well, and it would be your fault anyway.
I was a contractor.
Yeah, and
they don't care about
negligent. He was negligent. Look at him. He's stupid.
They don't care
drugs.
About
drugs. No, yeah, he was on drugs.
They would implant drugs in your body.
Yeah. CIA stuff, man.
God, I love Disneyland so much.
I dove there, did rope access there.
Nice.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
In the air and in the water at Disney.
Everywhere. All over the place. In the walls. All over the place.
You got to see secret stuff back there.
Secret stuff. Yeah. Big secrets.
This is not a Disney podcast.
Well, now it is. It's
transition.
Finally, we get to do the podcast I've always wanted.
So do people really drop ashes in certain areas of the park?
Yes. I have crawled through that shit.
No way.
Yeah. On Haunted Mansion, people throw their ashes on that. And like as a...
So gross.
So they have to inspect underneath there like every year. I've crawled underneath that whole track like 6 times. So...
Like, doing what though? You're doing like the UT stuff or is it weld test?
No, we just had to
visual. Yeah, what kind of... Oh, just visual.
Yeah, just visual. Yeah. Making sure the track's not cracked. There's no cracks in the welds.
Are those the ones where you're like just speeding through? Like, oh, I got Aunt Margaret in my mouth.
I mean, there's just like white dust all over the place because they clean it up, right? But
yeah, so if you don't. When you dump, they're supposed to stop the ride and everyone gets off.
Yeah.
And they get it real quick.
That's what they say. Cameras all over the place.
Right.
Yeah, but that stuff, there's like cracks in the ground.
Yeah, it gets in there.
In the walkway. So it gets down underneath there. And I've.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I got dead people. I had dead people over me.
Mm. In your mouth.
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
Breathing in your
real pretty good.
Yeah.
Just doing lines.
Yeah. I've never worked so hard not doing actually work.
Right.
Doing something, just looking at things. It's. Yeah.
I think you also climbed the Space Mountain, right? Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. But all up in Space Mountain.
Matterhorn.
Matterhorn. Yeah, all over the place.
Matterhorn's old. Disneyland what about the, here in California.
What about the...
basketball court?
No, the river. Rivers of America.
Yeah.
You always do that?
Swam the whole... Yeah, dove the whole thing.
See, I want to do that.
Yeah, Nemo or whatever it is now. Nemo.
Oh, you got to I dive think it's in gone. There.
Yeah. Yeah, he got to dive there.
So what kind of diving are you doing there?
Let's see. Splash Mountain has like at the bottom of all the drops, there's like water areas there.
How deep?
Splash Mountain is like a kiddie pool. Like we had to be in full gear, like full gear. And let's see, Nemo, Rivers America, the roller coaster base.
In Nemo, though, is that's like, what, 15, 20 feet?
That's a little deep.
Yeah, that's deep.
I mean, deep for Disney.
Right.
Yeah, but actually on an actual table.
Right.
It's the very first
right.
table.
Sure.
Unlimited dive time. But right. Yeah, it's a, technically it's a table.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. God, where else? Now I'm blanking out. I'm on the spot.
They fucking hit you with that Incredibles.
No, yeah.
Knockout in black gas thing. Or whatever, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's pretty varied, right? Like I did a bunch of stuff and all of it was... It's just so varied. That's why I kind of kept it interesting, right? Like one day I would be at a friggin' weld shop, UTing, you know, structural beams. Next minute I'd be at Disney. The other minute I'd be at, you know, Universal Studios, which shout out to those guys. Those guys are really great there. So both Van Disney and Universal, they have their stuff together. Smaller places. Be careful of those small parks, folks.
Don't talk about Knott's Berry Farm like that.
That one, I saw some sketchy stuff at Knott's Berry Farm, man. Sorry.
Well.
I hate to.
But it's the first. You know, it's the best.
But yeah, I mean, NET is great. I still enjoy it. I mean, I still do it.
How many divers work at Disneyland that are not diving anymore?
Oh, most of the guys that are in the, a lot of guys that are in the quality assurance department are former divers.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Man. See that? So yeah, you start off as a grunt level, diver.
Diver. At least two, I think, are former divers. My old boss was a former diver. Actually, both, both of them, one was a Navy diver and the other was a former Gulf diver. So they own a company and yeah, it's funny how many divers you have in NDT because you get, I mean, the schools train you and they kind of, you kind of fall into it, but yeah, I mean, I still enjoy it. It kind of oddly fit my personality. You know, I'm kind of.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Meticulous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it kind of fit my personality because it's, you know, like in diving, you have inspection, right? Like you inspect bridges, mm-hmm. you inspect structures, you inspect whatever. But it's a different mentality than being an NDT and you have a welder who just did the thing you're looking at who's like, you just told, hey, I'm sorry to do that weld.
Yeah, that's fucking shit.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and can I give a couple of tips, right? Like if you're going to go out and be a construction inspector, like there's kind of two ends of the spectrum. Like you have guys that don't even get out of their car. Mm-hmm. And then you have guys who are like complete dickheads, right? You need to be
in between there,
quite far away from both of those, right? Like kind of like, as people that like do stuff, like divers work. We make the things. Well, we're used to that. Like you're producing stuff and it's there for a long time, right? That's the same mentality as these welders. And they, you know, they have guys coming in there talking down to them, being rude to them, being, you know, kind of fucking pricks to these guys. And that's not where you want to be as an inspector. Cause I've seen inspectors get thrown off jobs because they're
either, really,
yeah. My old, when I went and did a big job for like 7 months up in San Jose, we were building, I don't know if it's a new headquarters, but it was like the giant new construction for a big tech company up there. And I was QC, so I was working for the steel
manufacturer. Is that tech company a name rhyme with Moogle?
Yeah, real similar to Moogle. So I was working for a QC, which, right?
We're going to get assassinated.
Yeah. I was working QC. So I was working for the steel guys. So I was almost like the defense attorney for the guys doing it. And because, you know, they had their inspectors that the owners had, right? So they're like, hey, fix this. And we're like, no, we don't need to. Sorry. So, you know, we're kind of on the side of the welders. And so you kind of learn a whole different aspect of inspection when you do that kind of stuff. When you're working for the guys, it's kind of a different, because you still have to make sure it's to code, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're also protecting them against like those inspectors that are a little bit too ambitious with what they want.
That probably have never been in construction in their life.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, I'm sure you see a lot of that.
Yeah, you have a lot of inspectors that have never welded once in their life. They have no idea.
Which is weird, because you can literally be a CWI and never welded anything. Yeah,
totally. Yep, and it happens all the time. And that's why the CWI test has such a big failure rate, because some of those guys walk in and they like unwrap their code book as right before they're about to take the test. And they're like, are you joking? Like, that is a super hard test. I don't know. What are you doing? But yeah, like being, you know, like when I inspected, I had the mentality that like, you know, especially like with a NDT technique, like there's no ands, if, or buts. It's just, you have to have the mentality that like, you're not failing it. The code fails it. It is what it is. We'll fix it. We'll test it. We'll pass it. Right. So visual inspection is a little bit different. It's more interpretable. Whether that, you know, weld is too big or is that too much undercut or whatever it is, you kind of got to work with people. So, but NET was nice because it was pretty clear cut. You know, if it fails, it fails. It is what it is. And most of the welders are pretty cool about that. You do have to, you will have guys, they don't know you're this diver who's welded a ton. They don't know that. So, you know, you got to kind of show up with that kind of attitude that like, I'm just here to do my job. And you'll get a lot of shit from welders. Oh, I've had guys like just like yelling at me across the construction site. This is one guy, right? Like, yeah, I was kind of that one guy. But, you know, because I failed like I didn't fail. Three of his welds failed, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you kind of got to deal with that. But there's a way to do it.
As far as that's concerned, I mean, there's not much subjectivity involved except for the visual, right?
Right. NDT is real. UT is real clear cut.
Yeah.
Because you're scanning, you know, you're doing an inspection on it and you're scanning the weld and it either meets the score or it doesn't. You may have somebody who's better or worse at it. And I've come behind my own company's inspectors and found stuff they didn't find. And that's not fun, right? You don't want to call out on the inspector.
The QC is terrible.
But that's pretty clear cut. Stuff like penetrant, that can sometimes be a little bit of an argument whether or not that goes down or whatever, or if that is a too much whatever here and there. Mag is pretty clear cut. There's either a big line of red powder or there's not. So, NDT is pretty clear. I'll go ahead and say it's clear cut. Mm-hmm. And that mentality is easy, right? It's easy to just be like, and you still have to work with those guys. You have to kind of change your way of thinking, right? You can't be too empathetic because, you know, you're used to doing stuff and making stuff and having to have stuff inspected. Then you're the guy doing it now, right? So it's kind of a shift, but you just have to realize that you're all there to make. I mean, the whole goal is to make this building safe, right?
Right. So
you do have to kind of adjust a little bit, but it's pretty easy as long as you go about it the right way. And you're just not a complete asshole to people.
This is Bobby DeLeese of the New Orleans-based maritime law firm DeLeese & Hall. For over 40 years, DeLeese & Hall has represented professional divers working offshore, in inland waters, or anywhere across the globe. This is what I know. All divers and their families should develop a relationship with an experienced diving attorney before an emergency occurs, so that if that emergency does occur, the diver's attorney is there to assist them in their time of need. Consider me and my partners, Alton Hall and Jeanette DeLeese, as your bailout bottle. pray that you will never need to engage us, but should an emergency occur, we're standing by to assist you and your family. Here's something else I know. Diving contractors, dive gear manufacturers, third parties, and their insurance companies have the money to have their attorneys on call. Why shouldn't the diver and his loved ones also have an attorney in their gear bag before they leave home? Want to learn how DeLise and Hall will be there should you need us? Give us a call at 1-800-DIVER-55 or call me on my cell at 504-460-6200. That's 1-800-DIVER-55 and 504-460-6200. Visit us at our website, www.divelawyer.com, or the DeLise and Hall Facebook page. This is Bobby DeLise signing off. We're DeLise and Hall, the divers' attorneys. And remember, not all sharks swim in the sea. Thanks and dive safe.
You know, and that's part of a bigger conversation too. Like if you even lump in like, you know, safety guys, you know, that's the thing is you have a lot of safety guys and gals that have never been on a construction site. They went to school to be an industrial hygienist, come out with a degree and stuff. And they're just by the book, you know, they have no empathy at all whatsoever. And they're just bam, bam. It's got to be this or that or this or that.
Right.
Even though some of the stuff that they're telling you to do is unsafe, you know, in related in relation to that job or that specific task. But then you get the other guy there that's been a construction worker that's been there. He might be a little too empathetic, you know? Yeah. Well, you have might let stuff fly that shouldn't fly.
And there's some places like these theme parks, they have so much safety because they've had accidents, but because they have one thing happen, they put so many rules in place you can barely do your job right.
You can be so unsafe that it's unsafe.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like I've seen like these yo-yos, right? You have like these like fall, we call them yo-yos, right?
It's like a fall protection.
It's basically a yo-yo, right? You clip it into a structure and you clip it onto your back, your harness, and then it retracts. And if you fall, it catches you. They have to have them on, you know, a certain distance away from the building or the edge. And yet this thing's going sideways and they're all walking out like
30 feet.
They fall. They're on the ground. If it's close to the ground, they're on the ground or they're swinging on the wall.
Right.
Shit, that makes sense. But yeah.
But they got to wear it though. But
they got to wear it.
And if they fall, instead of falling 6 feet, they're swinging 20 feet into a damn wall.
Yeah.
That's going to break their body.
I don't want to say I've
participated.
I mean, I can't say that I haven't like, when you're behind, you're on a ride and you're well behind the wall and you have to go up and look at this one well, then there's no one around. I can't say. I can either confirm nor deny. Mm. But I may have monkeyed around here and there.
Just free-handed.
Yeah. I'm starting to remember when you were freestyle. Like, hey, so don't go on this ride at Disneyland for a little bit. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just real quick before we get into it. Tell us that Matterhorn story again. Oh, crap. Are we going to get into some kind of legal issues here? No, they freaking fixed it. You found something on Matterhorn that could have killed several people.
Come on, there. Yeah, we did. Well, something had cracked.
We're going to cut this.
Yeah, I'll say this. Before I say that, they are one of the most tightly run ships I've ever come around. Yeah. And things do break.
Nice sandwich method. I love it.
Yeah. Having said that, things break. And that's why we are there. Right. And sometimes at Matterhorn or various rides, some things were in the scope and some things are not in the scope. And sometimes things should be in the scope that were not in our inspection plan for a really long time that then crumble away and fall off.
Oh, part of the track?
Part of the mountain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think everybody knew. I think that was in the news.
Right. See, then you can talk about
it. So part of that.
There are adults, I'm not saying I'm one of them, that have known that before even Disney employees know that.
Yeah.
Because they just.
They're sitting there watching.
They're in tune.
Binoculars.
Yeah, they know everything.
But that's the part of being an inspector, though. Like, you're there doing a certain task, but if you see something that looks out of the ordinary, you're going to take a closer look and you're going to point it out. And that's kind of what happened, right?
Yes and no. So we did.
Was this just like an annual inspection? And you're like, oh, fuck.
No, it crumbled while we weren't there.
You know how that ride is always closed.
I love how you opened that beer and just poured yourself the whole thing.
Oh, was I supposed to share?
No, I mean, you weren't supposed to, but...
You don't even have a glass.
I don't, but I have a mouth.
Well, I'm not going to climb over the desk and pour it down your throat.
It'd make for a better episode.
Well, maybe. They wouldn't be able to see it, so it doesn't matter. I'm going to drink all this beer by myself.
Johnny essentially pouring this beer into his mouth.
So. But yeah, we're like building everybody up. What did you find?
Well... I guess I can say it because it was well known. It was in the news. The rock structure. Mm-hmm. It's a water ride. I'm not sure if you're aware, but water and steel over a long time does bad things.
What?
Corrodes, expand, yeah. And it pushes stuff yeah, out.
It makes steel not steel.
That's not true.
And the steel holds up the fake rocks. So, cut two.
Base, midsection, or top? Tippity top.
Waterfall. So there's four waterfalls on that ride.
So which
there's
waterfall?
Four quadrants.
You just have to tell me where, and I know. So.
Well, it's been fixed.
Yeah, it's been fixed.
I know, but I know where you... I know the reference that you're going to give.
It's
Disney freak.
Pointing towards Nemo.
Okay.
Yep, that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was shut down for a long time.
It's still shut down. It's always shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of things. But I mean, like... The place is old, you know. If there's water on a ride, there's corrosion, and that's what we were there to fix. You know, that's what we're there—not to fix, but to find. And we definitely found. You find a lot.
Oh, we found it.
Yeah, it's better than Knott's, though.
Hold
damn, okay.
All right. Dude.
So Knott's Berry Farm is another theme park in California for those that are listening in other parts of the globe.
Yeah, if you a globe or in. Middle America, you guys have a lot of Cedar Fair places. That's the company who bought Knott's.
Yeah, those guys don't even have
formerly Bush.
They'll just fix something and weld it and then just turn it right back on and no one's there to check it.
See, I mean, that's where you're
that was a few years ago.
Saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was a few years ago I saw that with my eyes though. That's not hearsay. And that was a few years ago. So maybe it's better now.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
And if not, then get your crap together. I ride on those rides.
All the time.
Yeah. Given they do feel like carnival rides. I have season
passes. They are carnival rides. I used to work there as well. So.
Yeah. But most places are safe. Eek. I got to say, Disney, Universal, those guys, they got their stuff together.
I love Knott's Berry Farm, though. It's fine.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Well.
The cool thing, though, is that the dive
business. If you go with me, you'd like it.
Opens you up to some awesome stuff. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to be stuck in an office doing file clerking or nothing. You can use the skills that you learned in dive school and all the jobs to do other fun stuff, too.
And I will say this. Let's say you start getting. Okay, so here's a little path most people go on. Maybe this will be helpful for people. Actually, give you something to listen to.
Help the people that are washing out.
I started an NDT.
Stop doing drugs.
I mean, that's first and foremost.
Yeah. I started an NDT, right?
Stop drinking if that's your problem, too. Yeah.
No, there's plenty of guys who drink. Then I went into visual, right? Then some guys go get their ICC certs, okay? You can get...
Explain to those who listen who are not divers and or construction workers.
ICC is the International Code Council.
International.
Yes. That's where you get your masonry, concrete...
go inspect concrete in Dubai.
Yeah, you get
horticulture
retention. Let me say. So you get like building style certs, right? Yeah. Like there's a welding one. There's a bolting one. Bolting ones, like if you're an NDT and welder, if you're like NDT and CWI, getting your ICC bolting is very beneficial.
Nice.
Because you're kind of like the steel guy. Hmm. I started getting my concrete and then realized it sucks because
I had the concrete.
Yeah.
It sucked.
I went and did the ACI Concrete Tech 1 or whatever up in Vegas. Well,
why does it suck?
Oh, you're sitting there watching concrete trucks and you got to time them. You got to take samples. You got to slough it all. It's a lot of labor.
Laborers.
Labor intensive. Yeah. A lot of, I don't want to do all that. I just want, I'm here to look at what you do, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't need to be, it's a lot of work. But if you want to work,
if you're a young buck,
kind of got to play the game.
Right? It's in demand. My stepdad is my mom's husband is a.
So you got.
I'm a little old to have a stepdad.
My step puppy.
My mom's husband is a concrete guy.
We're gonna have
and he's been doing it for many, many years.
We're going to have to cut this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is he Mexican as well?
Yes.
See? See that? See that? You see that? So really, if you're Mexican, concrete is the way to go. It's like very labor intensive.
I had the cert as well. Yeah, so, and it worked on two jobs.
We're cutting that, right?
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't cut that at all.
I know I'm Mexican, but I guess you can get canceled for even talking bad about
your own race nowadays. I don't even know.
Oh, man, I knew it.
Okay, so then you got like ICC soils. Those guys go out and test the soil before a job is done, right? So to get those, you kind of have to go to the school to be able to pass the friggin' tests. The tests, and here's the funny thing. The tests are like, back when I took them a few years ago, like $250 to take the test.
One time. How much is the school?
like a lot.
Oh my God.
Jesus. Like $600 or $700, $800 for one test.
Why do you have to pay so much just to go to work?
Because here's how it works. Yeah, the test is over like the masonry was like $4 or $5 that you have to take into that test. There's no way to know it. So you basically go to this quote school and then you start highlighting your book in very, very, very specific locations. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Very specific.
Like to a T.
Oddly specific locations. Right.
Okay. In the book. No, I get it.
And
I was at Pace at Long Beach Poly. I mean,
ICC is also not Pace.
That's what I said. I correct myself. Yeah. CIC, cheating in class. I get it.
Yes.
I understand.
You basically get the test.
But we pass it down.
Yeah. They basically, you pay to get the test in your book. Now, you can also get ICC certs to get your building inspector certs. Those guys make a lot of money. Like you're getting too old to dive. That's a good one to go to. Like it's a big investment. It's a lot of time. Most of those guys are a little bit older, but being like a, what's it called? IOR, inspector of record or inspector on record, whatever, inspector of record or inspector on record. I forget, but those guys make a lot of money. They make well over six figures.
Easy. What kind of paperwork do you need to keep during your career in order to qualify for stuff like that? Or do you just take a test?
Like your NDT stuff, like keep track of your time. Like
okay, how much so you're divers expecting. Out there that are doing NDT tasks, mm-hmm. keep track of it.
Yeah, because if you like, there are some NDT schools you can go to, and they basically you graduate with like your level ones. There's three levels in NDT in construction. Level one, level two, level three. Level three, we'll start at the top, are the guys who can like teach you. They write procedure. You have to have a level three in a company. Like it's also a national cert. You own it. Level two is like what I was. You can go out and do jobs by yourself. Level one, think of it as an apprentice. So most schools, you graduate a level one in all the different things you do, whether it's MAG or MAG and penetrant, eddy current and radiography, all that stuff. So
like the job that we're doing right now,
yeah,
we need to keep track of all those hours because we're putting in a ton of hours over a period of like 3 months.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And then we can use those hours.
Yeah, you're level two.
Well, that's why we have the dive logs and
right.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, but keep track of all your time.
Keep track of it and submitting it when.
Yeah, keep track of all your time. Because, like, for instance, like CWI, you have to have 5 years of experience in like that type of field. So diving counts, right? So you need records of looking and inspecting things to even take the test. So that's a big one, though. The CWI test is a big one.
Yeah. This whole thing. And that's something that a lot of divers can get if they go after it.
Yeah.
Who needs to sign off on this stuff? Is it just dive supervisor?
I guess.
Or do you have to have an engineer type of thing or something?
Yeah, like when I was on that Africa job, like there was, I can't remember. He was through the company. He was like basically our level three. Like he could definitely sign for your hours, like through inspection if you wanted to go that route.
So can you sign off on our hours?
Yeah. Pretty much, kind of, okay. Sort of, maybe.
But you've got to like physically get your logs and have them sign off on it. Like, you can't just say, "Hey, I was in this job."
It's hard to say yes or no on that, okay. Right? Because like I don't know if you caught it, but like I was, my certs, whether they're MAG or UT, they're company owned.
Okay.
So if you want to work,
that happens a lot. Like, the companies will keep
standard.
The certs. Yeah.
It's pretty standard because some companies, like let's say MAG, right? Some companies only do yoke inspection on construction. Some do bench inspection. Like I did at Disney, a ton of bench inspection. I had never done any of that. Basically think of a big giant workbench that you throw parts in and magnetize. I had never done any of that. So the cert is they train you, you qualify on their equipment and their procedures. That's kind of why, because every company has a level 3 that can write procedures, and it's going to be different. Well, not super different, but they can add different stuff that you're not used to, that you've never done. So, and that's kind of the nice other thing. There's no end. Yeah,
this whole podcast sounds like we're just telling people to spend money to go to school.
Well, I didn't.
Sounds like, right?
I didn't spend a dime. The only thing, no, I didn't spend a dime on my NDT stuff. I got with a company that would train me. I didn't pay them. They didn't pay me. I took me, every class was 40 hours. I didn't get paid to be there, but I didn't pay them to teach me. And that exists.
But not everywhere.
Well, I also worked for an engineering company that, I was a diver for them, but they paid for my time doing the rope access.
Yeah.
Like they paid for the class. They paid for my time while I was there training to be a SPRAT, rope access technician.
Yeah.
So that, like I said, you can find a good company that will pay for all that stuff too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, likely like
that. Go find a good company.
That's probably what I'm going to go back to later on.
Like next week.
No, like much later. I got a few more years left in me still, which is why I keep my certs up still.
I did love rope access, though. It was a lot of fun.
Sometimes that shit was more fun than diving. Yeah. I mean, sometimes diving, you're just like down there and you don't see very much. Like, dude, I friggin' rappelled off of, like, the loop credit coaster?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to climb up that thing while being clipped in and all that jazz. And then, like, Universal Soldier shit down the middle of that thing all the way to the ground.
Nice.
Like, it was pretty fun. I had to crawl. The first thing I ever did on rope access was the Incredicoaster. And it was, I can't remember what turn it was, but it was basically the most northern turn on that ride all the way up. And I had to inspect from the brake zone where there's a big stairwell to it all the way down to the ground. And that was the first thing I ever did with anything. And it was high as shit. And it's in the middle of the night, and about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, it starts getting real wet.
Right.
So you're walking with like work boots, nice. Like walking on round, wet steel that's painted, mind you, which makes it way worse.
Well, the coaster's got to go fast.
It's got to go fast. Oh, dude. That was scary.
It's looped up.
Oh, my God.
We had guys.
And if you would have fallen, you would have died to some Pixar Pier song because they keep playing the music.
Yeah, we had a guy who was a diver who was deathly afraid of heights, like deathly afraid of any amount of height. It was actually really funny, but he was like petrified as shit. Right,
wrong business.
And he, I mean,
that's why he chose to be a diver. You could be a
diver, right? Like you're not feeling like
you're not to swim.
But he could not get like there was like this one second, like, okay, dude, I won't say his name, but there was like, okay, dude, like. We're just going to do this part. He got like 3 rungs up and just started like uncontrollably shaking. And I was like, all right, man, come on down. Like, why don't you tackle the foundations tonight? So
just go and swing the concrete blocks.
Why don't you go look at the concrete? But no, I mean, it's fun.
We'll find some cracks.
Hey, being high is some people don't like that.
But the thing is that I wasn't good with heights either, but it's like you've got a task to do. And once you get your, like, you know what you're doing, it's like you're saturating that task and you don't have time to know that you're 500 feet in the air.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's only until afterwards, like, crap, I was way up there.
Anything you got to do to get it done, you got to get it done.
That was a cool part of the job, though. I'm just saying, it's a blast. Those divers that are out there, and if you guys want to change the pace, if you got an opportunity to get into rope access, it's physical, it's fun. Just like Kenny said, it's like diving in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a blast.
It is. And like inspection, the great thing about it is it directly can pertain back to back to diving. I mean, it's nice. I mean, that stuff that you like on this big job, it directly relates.
They also use rope access on oil rigs as well.
Yeah.
Routinely, you've got guys that are on rope access that are doing welding and burning and stuff, which to me freaking terrifies me.
Oh, my God.
Fire and ropes does not mix.
No, that'd be really scary. You know?
But
what,
they
what do they do? Put Kevlar sleeves on their ropes or something?
I don't know exactly. I'm sure they have to.
You have to.
I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, you have to take those precautions with everything. But yeah. They do it, you know, on the rigs. You got IRADA and SPRAD are the two main agencies. Mm-hmm. If you get your IRADA cert, that's the one that's transferable across the globe.
Yeah. Well, SPRAD, you just said SPRAD is the United States.
Yeah.
That one's coming up, though. They're trying to make them equal, right?
Right. Just like ADCI and IMCA, which is kind of funny because there are similarities between rope access and diving.
Yep.
And even with the safety regulatory agencies that are involved as well, there's like a European agency and there's an American agency.
Yep.
It's very curious.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Yes. Curious case of Benjamin Button.
And in both cases, the American one is not accepted by the European one.
Well, you know what? Fuck.
It's always the same thing, right? They're like,
always.
Oh, we don't want to accept your cert, sir. So sorry.
Why are they French?
Because that's what you think of when you think of a stuck-up European, right? A French guy.
Right.
Sorry if you're in France. My bad.
We don't have listeners in France.
Oh, perfect. We can talk shit about
right,
them,
yeah. Right? Fuck
that
them.
Is so weird. That is so weird. Like, that's the only, like, one of the very few countries that we don't have listeners
well,
in.
Then game on, right?
Are there French divers? French divers, throw your hands up.
I don't know. I don't know any.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to know any.
I know. I knew on that African job, he was a client.
Mm.
He was French.
Like, actually, we're listening to
French. He was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. I just really thought it was like
France, you know, is not one of them.
I kind of like Frenchmen. They're very.
He was pretty cool, man. He
handsy.
I don't think he had any
handsy.
He wasn't handsy. He was just like
handsy.
He didn't have kids. He was probably in his like late 30s, and he's like, well, you know, you in France, you
smoke cigarette, you pound a woman, you go dive.
No, he seriously was like, you know, you have your cigarette, your dessert, you eat a little food, you make love, you play your sport, you do your sport.
They don't play sports.
You do sport. Oh, he said, you do sport.
You do sport.
Okay. You do sport. And that's just like, that's just their whole little or something. Thing. Yeah. Bicycle, the bicycle.
Oh yeah, bicycle.
They bicycle, sir.
They do
bicycle.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm sorry.
The Tour
I'm
de France.
By your tongue.
Whoa.
Tour de France.
What was that?
It's your mom.
Oh, got me good, mother.
Dig. So, in conclusion.
Yes.
It's a pretty decent little gig, man. As long as you know your shit, you do have to know what you're talking about. There's a lot of people that, I don't want to toot my horn, but whatever, but I have had to correct quite a few people who don't know their shit, and it doesn't look good. So
I mean, it requires extra education to make a career out of it.
Yeah, well. It does. But
you can get your foot in the door, but you still got to do the work.
You do. And experience is big. And it takes a little while, right? But it's, you can make it work. I did. I mean, I did it working nights, being dry, having a kid to start, which was not, I don't recommend that having, but most of us do now. So what are you going to do?
The first one.
Yeah. And then,
sorry.
And then you may always end up finding your way back into diving.
Which I did.
Which you did.
And I do enjoy it. Because you get to do both now.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to say the word. I'm knowledgeable. And
you're wise.
I'm wised. Yeah.
Wizened.
So yeah. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Cool.
All right.
So there's hope.
Yeah.
For those that spent 30 something grand on dive school.
Go spend more.
Yeah, go spend more. $36,000 and now you can get a job, pay for that, and go back into school. 20 grand later, now you're paying both schools.
Bingo bango.
You can take a test and make more money. Oh, but that's only $500 for this test.
It is.
Yeah. So
this test is $500, that one's $500.
Just
then 3 years later.
Fucking work at McDonald's.
But
forget everything we just said.
Just scratch it.
Forget everything.
Find an In-N-Out if you're in California. Get be a manager and make $100,000
easy. Yeah, what's that one, TikTok or be an OnlyFans person?
Yeah, be an OnlyFans. Diddle yourself. So much money.
No, don't You can diddle yourself.
It's yourself. We're telling them to diddle themselves. Not
this has devolved very quickly in the past.
Usually 1 minute. Does.
I know. Yeah. Terrible show. But don't listen to this show anymore.
Why put yourself through all that?
Because you need to live, Johnny. You need to live.
Maybe there are 15-year-olds who are living better than all three of us combined. Yeah. Okay.
That's a different
thing. And they're not diddling themselves. They're just playing video games.
So this is LB Diver with the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack. You guys have a good night, and we will see you on the next episode. I hope this helped anyone out there that may be, like said, you know, on the fence, thinking about whether to keep going diving or do something else.
Or just, in between.
Or in between as you're dry, because it happens. There are dry periods in diving. Mm. Either go pound nails or go look inspect at people pound the nails that were pounded.
Touch your belly button.
Or touch your belly button for money on TikTok. Those are your three options.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. In this day and age, that's it.
Jiminy crickets. I hate living in the future sometimes. I'll tell you what. Don't you know?
All right.
All right. Well, all right. I guess have a good night.
We'll see you in the next episode. Or day, whatever time you're listening to.
Dive Shack. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack. Make sure you like and follow on our social media pages on Instagram and Facebook. Please share this podcast with your friends or anyone interested in commercial diving. The only way that we can make this successful is if we do get a lot of people that are listening. We get more listeners, we get more sponsors, and that means more free stuff for you guys. That's right. We are hooking up all of our diver brothers and sisters in the trade. And if you keep sharing and liking, we're able to do that a lot more. Our Instagram is at Bottom Dwellers DS. Our Facebook is Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack. And you can always like and follow me at LB Diver on both. The Bottom Dwellers Dive Shack is available on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Anchor. We also have it streaming on our website at thebottomdwellers.com. So keep listening, keep it safe, keep it salty. This is LB Diver, out.